I wouldn't say resolution, but it was something I figured I'd give it almost a year and see how I liked having a heart rate monitor mm-hmm. and a fitness tracker. And I really did enjoy it, but I didn't get the item I now have because it was a serious investment, and I just don't think it was where it needed to be. I wasn't impressed. So, drum roll, please.
That's better.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We really appreciate you guys listening. And if you haven't done so already, please give us that rating and review in iTunes and on our brand new Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Those ratings and reviews go a long way and help us reach a broader audience.
Yes, and we just like to hear how people are receiving our podcast.
Yeah, we always want to look and trying to improve. That's one of the main things we're always looking for when we ask for feedback. All right, so we're going to jump right into our training recaps because we got a lot of info to get into on this episode. Yeah. So
action packed.
I was about to say that.
Are we going to run while we do this?
Action packed episode. Yeah, we've done them before. Well, not run, but we have worked out during episodes, but. No workouts today during this episode. We are going to talk about workouts, though. For myself, like I said, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but my training at Title Boxing is really kind of a workout for me and for the students. So yeah. it's really been a good thing for me because, you know, now with the baby and with all my clients, it's a time that's a little – essentially for me to work out during the week. So
that is your built-in workout, which is super nice.
Yeah, it's nice. And I get to do a lot more striking too, which is awesome. So, and another thing that I've been doing that in addition to, you know, something fitness related is the intermittent fasting. So I know we talked about it last week. I just want to mention that I'm now into like a 10-hour eating window and 14-hour fast, most of it during the night. So, but it's good because it's, I'm seeing some weight loss, but you know, I'm not going to push it any farther than that. I think I wanted to set, I was trying an 8-hour eating window, which a lot of people do. But I think I'm just going to stick with the 10 hours because I'm seeing good results, seeing some weight loss, even though I'm not trying to lose weight. I'm doing it mainly for other type of metabolic functions, which actually I talk about recently on elementaltampa.com, some of the benefits of intermittent fasting other than losing weight.
Yeah, and this is going to be one of those things where you're going to hear us disagree because I'm actually not a proponent for Nick to be doing this as the kind of like, you know, overprotective wife because he doesn't really have a lot of weight to lose.
Right.
Like, he has next to no weight to lose, in fact. And I think that he's pushing it too far doing the 14 hours and that there has been research that says 12-hour intermittent fasting is actually plenty for people that don't have weight to lose. So I've been actually requesting that he scale it back and do 12 hours given his schedule, but he's not, and he's still doing 14. So.
Well, no. I mean, it varies, I say, day to day, but there's a lot of good research out that, you know, they say 10 is kind of like the sweet spot, even though you can get benefits from 12-hour fastings or a 12-hour eating window, so it would be a 12-hour fasting since there's only 24 hours in a day. But my main concern is doing it, like Shannon said, I don't have weight to lose, but I have a history of cancer in my family, and one of the big things about the benefits they're finding about intermittent fasting is that it reduces some of the precursors to cancer growth.
Yes, so that's why you can get it with 12 hours. You don't have to do more than that.
10 is better. All right, so yeah, we'll debate that. All right.
So, that's just one of those times where you're going to hear Nick and I disagree, and both of us actually have looked into this. So
I'd say check out elementaltampa.com, read about the article, or read the post I recently put up about intermittent fasting. So that's my training recap. I almost slapped. I almost did the clap. So I want to throw it over to you before
you
I do
tell
any,
your trainer. Any, you're like, yeah, let's go.
Any woo! Cheerleading action, I'm going to throw it over to you next.
All right, so I have been continuing my kind of maternity leave activity interesting goals, which is basically having a baby around, taking care of her is definitely my priority, and it does serve as exercise in itself. I actually am tracking my weight loss, you know, just from being pregnant, having Ella to now, and I've already seen some returns to my previous weight. I think I'm only, I'm less than 10 pounds off where I was. And considering I gained 30 pounds with my pregnancy, I think that's pretty good. It's mostly due to taking care of Ella. And, of course, breastfeeding is a huge, I think, part of that.
Yeah, calorie burner, right?
It's a really big calorie burner. And I think definitely it's been – I know it's not effective for everybody. I've read a number of things that says it's not necessarily effective in all people. It's about 60% of people actually – experience weight loss assistance. Others don't see any impact from breastfeeding. So yeah, I didn't know that. I thought it was just like across the board, it always helps you, but it's definitely been a big help for me. So, I'll report back on how that's going, but otherwise trying to be active in any way. I know we've talked previously in other episodes about how until you're at a certain week marker, your doctors actually don't advocate that you do activity beyond just like walking and gentle yoga and things like that. I did start my activity with some spinning and a little bit, I would say, like moderate to intermediate level yoga about a week and a half ago. And I've had really good experience with that. I've not been pushing it. I've limited my exercise periods to about 30 minutes. So even if I'm doing a high intensity workout, I am only doing 30 minutes. So
you're doing the high intensity on the bike?
Yeah.
You're pushing it up there?
Okay. Yeah. I jumped it up to high intensity after a couple workouts. I jumped in and it kicked my ass.
You staying in the saddle, getting out of the saddle?
Both.
Or both?
Both, yeah.
Interesting.
Yep, and it's definitely proves how much I have to get back because
right.
I am really dying after about 30 minutes, and usually I could just surpass those basic, recommendations they give you. They're like, oh yeah, stay within this range, do this resistance, do this cadence, and I'm like struggling on some of them to hit the basics. Right. And it's like, I did a workout yesterday actually where I couldn't do all of them.
Wow. Okay.
Just like the bare minimum, I couldn't meet them. So I had to take some breaks. But I do think pushing myself a little bit outside the comfort zone within moderation, cardiovascularly,
there you
is
go.
That a word?
Yeah,
it's a good. So yeah, so that's been really good for me. And I felt positive, and I felt good about that.
Yeah, especially knowing that you're only a few pounds from your pre-pregnancy weight, essentially.
Yeah, I'm within that 10-pound range, so I know you lose weight just by having a baby.
Right, but yeah, we get that. But also, another thing was pretty cool is that we talked about it when we were doing the postpartum, ways to avoid postpartum, that exercise was probably the number one.
Yes.
So I'm glad that you're able to, it's like a trade-off. I mean, obviously, like you said, we said this last week, you know your body better than the doctor. So you're like, obviously you want to err on the side of caution, but you also want to get back in there because you know how beneficial it can be to avoiding, anything postpartum anxiety and whatnot. So
yeah. And that was a big reason why I decided to get back into it a little bit earlier, because I could tell in my brain that I just needed some activity because I was going a little bit stir crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
An outlet.
Yeah. Well, that's always a benefit. So now I know you've kind of had almost like a little assistant with your you're getting back into fitness and exercise.
Yeah. So we'll link in our show notes to our previous discussion and review of my Fitbit, which I purchased at the beginning of 2017. And it was like my New Year's gift to myself. And it was kind of my, I wouldn't say resolution, but it was something I figured I'd give it almost a year and see how I liked having a heart rate monitor and a fitness tracker. And I really did enjoy it. You know, it is what, 11 months later.
Fitbit Charge 2.
Yes. Correct? Okay, was, 2.0. Was that right. Particular model that I went. And mm-hmm. you can hear our whole review on that in that previous episode. But I didn't get the item I now have because it was a serious investment. And I just don't think it was where it needed to be. I wasn't impressed. So drum roll, please.
That's better.
I finally purchased an Apple Watch.
I just did a clap again. Yeah. So yeah, Apple Watch.
So Apple Watch Series 3. Obviously, if you follow the Apple kind of announcements and things like that, it came out I don't know if it came out this summer or if it came out in September. I think it came out this summer. But they came out with two models in the Series 3. They came out with the GPS and the GPS and the cellular.
Yep.
Yeah, cellular. So GPS and GPS cellular. I did not decide to get the cellular because it's like you have to pay more and then you have to pay a monthly fee for the data. Just didn't think I needed that. I have a phone. I'm not really going to abandon my phone. I really wanted something that was going to be more watch-like, though. That was my biggest critique of the Fitbit Charge 2, was that it's a good fitness tracker. If you're looking for a fitness tracker, heart rate monitor, it's great for that. But I really missed seeing a watch. And I didn't like that I had to fight my Fitbit sometimes to get it to show me the time. So, like, I couldn't just use it as a regular watch. I'd sometimes be sitting there whipping my wrist around trying to get the screen to appear. Otherwise, you always had to press a button. So that aspect of just having a watch and a very functional watch, I felt like I was missing out on.
Right.
So I really wanted to, I decided I do use the fitness and heart rate monitor enough. I mostly use it for just kind of looking back on my general health for heart rate and also really specifically for workouts.
Yeah. So now I know, I think we talked about it. Maybe, and you'll probably answer this because I know you got a whole review, but is this something that syncs up to the Peloton?
So that's actually one of the few cons.
Okay, sorry. I don't want to get ahead. I'm getting ahead of this. So
we'll quickly run down the official review since we talked about now why I purchased it, because it definitely is more of an investment. I think the Fitbit Charge was like around $130. When I purchased it, and the Series 3 Apple Watch for just the GPS model, I got the 38 millimeter size and the aluminum backing, and it started at $329, and that includes the band and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the gold aluminum case GPS with the pink sand sport band.
Yeah.
It's very, very nice. But really quick, as far as my initial thoughts, the wearability and like the comfort, most watch bands for me, I have to get like a small watch band or else I have to put it on a really like tight setting because I actually have relatively small wrists. I'm sure a lot of, you know, women experience that. But this one, the band that they give you, they actually give you two bands. And the one that comes built in, it fit me. And I didn't have to worry about, like, punching additional holes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bigger band, I think, if you have, you know, if you need a bigger... if you wanted a larger band. The men's or anybody, because I mean I'm on like the second to last hole, so if you don't have super small wrists, then you'd probably need to bump up to the other band. But I mean, like, if kids are wearing it or something, you know, they're probably
kids with an Apple Watch.
There's a lot of kids out there I see with these on like forever ago.
Yeah, anywho.
But so it was really nice that this fit perfectly, that they give you some size options. And the other straps are pretty easy to swap out if you want to get into customizing your look. I have the sport band in pink sand. So the gold that they have in the Series 3 is actually very close to a rose gold.
I see that.
So when I have my rose gold ring on, which is most of the time, which is my wedding ring, mm-hmm. it does really look rose gold. That's and it has
coordinating, huh?
The pink sand band that is like blush pink, basically, right. is what it is. So
it's stylish.
It is stylish. It's comfortable, and you can customize it.
Okay.
I also bought the Sport Loop, which is a like a nylon weave that has a hook and loop fastener.
Mm-hmm.
The basic band that comes with it, the sport band, is made of fluoroelastomer.
Okay.
Which is a pretty durable. Sort of plasticky silicone kind of feeling
right.
band,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't wear like some of the plastic. Like my Fitbit, the plastic band started getting like a mm-hmm. little tinged color, like other things would rub off on it.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't seem to do that. So I think we talked about how basically it looks and feels. The actual face of the watch is a really good size. And I'll put pictures of this on the show notes
right.
from my watch so you can see what it looks like. But it's very crystal clear. The face of it's very crystal clear. And you can have different watch faces. You can actually customize your watch face. You can have different types and styles that you can just swipe through. So depending what you're doing, you might actually want to switch up your watch face. There's a Mickey watch face, Mickey or Minnie watch face. So if you want to be a little fun... and it'll actually tell you the time in Mickey's voice. But there's also just like the digital readout types. There's a whole variety. They have different backgrounds. They have different what they call complications are the apps and programs. So the complications or the complications are the shortcut buttons basically to get to certain apps or programs on your watch.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of things that you can integrate with your iPhone because all of this is supported, set up, and managed through an app on your iPhone.
Okay.
So if you don't have the iPhone, I don't really know how this works.
Yeah, because I'm familiar with, I don't know how recent, it's probably over a year now, got my iPhone, and there was already, you know, an app icon
built in,
with
yeah.
Apple Watch on there,
yeah.
even though I didn't have one. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really want you to have one.
Oh, yeah.
But the integration between your iPhone and your watch is super impressive. I don't know how it works with Android, so I apologize. I can't give you that side of the review. But if you have an iPhone, it's a seamless extension
mm-hmm.
of your iPhone. You can track like what you're playing on your iPhone. So if you're playing something on Spotify on your iPhone, it'll actually show up on your watch. You can control, like you can switch songs. So if your phone is a little bit farther out of your reach, you can just skip songs and stuff, turn the volume up or down on
so
your
it's an
watch.
Extension, like you said, extension of your phone
it
to
is.
A certain
extent. Yes.
Certain extent, extension to a certain extent. Okay, got it.
but that's like the probably one of the biggest pros for
right.
this watch is the fact that it is so closely a partner to your phone. And I will say that some of the functions I've really, really liked so far. Obviously, the heart rate monitor is pretty darn accurate.
Mm-hmm.
It tracks it over the course of the day. So similar to other heart rate monitors, you can see how you've tracked. It does your resting heart rate. It does activity. It'll actively track when you're doing an activity or workout.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a wonderful feature, one I really, really wanted to make sure I still had. And all of that, there's an actual heart rate program or app in your watch, but there's also an activity tracker in your watch, and that will you can set goals for yourself in terms of what you're moving in a given day, what your workouts are in a given day and how many steps you've gone.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still see all of those kind of quick metrics in that activity tracker. It all integrates with the health app on
yep.
your iPhone,
mm-hmm.
Which plugs into almost all health apps anywhere. And so activity and the workout, there's a workout app that's separate in your watch
really?
That you can quickly start, like to track a workout. You can quickly start. They have like easy access type buttons. You can just say, okay, I'm doing indoor cycling, I'm doing yoga, I'm doing outdoor walk, or they have all different kinds of quick things you can start, or you can just do a general so that it'll start tracking your heart rate for that time period that you say you're doing that activity.
Interesting.
So that's kind of how I've been tracking like my spinning and things like that.
Do they give you an estimate of calorie burned too?
Yeah,
probably base that off the activity you're doing.
Yeah, I think they're doing your heart rate specifically.
Right.
I wonder why, or you know, it might be due to activity.
I think maybe a combination of both. Maybe I'm thinking just because, you know, with something that's more higher in intensity, even though your heart rate's up a little higher, they might think that you're burning more calories longer, especially when you're resting or things like that. I don't know. So
I don't know, but because they have an open one where you don't specify the activity that you're doing. I think the activity type is more just to give you a quick access to the type of workout it was.
Oh, so maybe it logs it for you?
Yeah,
okay.
It does. It,
okay.
It all gets logged into the activity app and
gotcha.
Into your health, your overall health.
Okay, okay. So, yeah, maybe that's why it's maybe not that, yeah, like you said, it's based on heart rate, and then that's just a way to track what exercise or type of workouts you did. Okay,
and I
cool.
think they give you the active calories that you burned in a particular workout, which are, you know, when your heart rate reaches a certain level, it starts counting those as active calories, and then it gives you your total calories within that specific time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So those are really great from a fitness working out sort of tracking. Those are all programs I really love.
Good.
The messages, which is just your texts and things,
right.
I really was surprised. This is one of my favorite features. I don't know if anybody used to watch Inspector Gadget on TV. Remember Penny, the little blonde hair pigtail girl that was Inspector Gadget's niece?
Niece, okay.
She had a watch that was like a square face, and she could like type on it and it would do things. I feel like I'm her now because basically like I can tell, like I can talk to type, and my watch will communicate with my phone, and basically as long as I'm within range of my phone, I can respond to people via the talk to text, and it's amazingly accurate, as accurate as what you have on the newer phones.
Right.
So the operating system that this comes with, I think, is the Watch OS 4, and that is a really updated operating system. Gives you really good functionality with things like the talk to text. So you can do Siri, you can do all those things. The other kind of fun little programs, the weather is something I use all the time, just because like it's easier to look on my watch and see what the temperature is outside.
Yeah.
So you can add those onto your watch faces for quick access and kind of to keep tabs. The timer and the stopwatch, those are basic kind of functions that you would want in a fitness type tracking watch. And that's something that this can do. You can set a timer or access your timer or your stopwatch even just with Siri. So
can you integrate an interval timer in there? Have you tried that yet?
I don't think so. I'm not sure yet. There might be an app for the watch that I haven't found. So there are certain apps that when you get the watch, it automatically shows you it'll sync up to what you have in your phone, and it'll say there's a watch app for that.
Right.
Do you want to install that on your watch?
Oh, okay.
And some of them have great functionality. Some of them suck.
Right.
Some of them are purely just like there's an interface that says it has a watch, you know. It's not that good. So I haven't been that impressed with Instagram. I can get updates as far as notifications when people message me or something, but that's it.
Okay.
So there's certain ones I'm just not that thrilled with.
Right.
There's also the maps, which is supposed to give you walking and like driving directions since it has GPS.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really used it a ton. It's been good. Like if I was just looking for, you know, what's nearby for eateries or what's nearby for shopping, you can actually do all that searching right on your watch. You don't even have to pick up your phone.
Right.
It'll give you the address. It'll give you all that information, give you phone number even, all right on your watch super fast.
Right.
I haven't had a whole lot of luck yet. I still need to play around with kind of using it for walking directions, but it's supposed to be able to give you that.
Nice.
It's supposed to give you, I think, turn-by-turn directions for you as you're going about. So if you're wandering
through a city that you're not familiar with, yeah,
this might be actually a cool thing, so you don't have to hold out your phone.
Right.
You could just look at your watch.
Yeah, and I know, I don't think it's, well, I mean, it's definitely with the option you have, but now with the wireless headphones
that Apple puts out,
you can use that with that, the watch, correct? The
iBuds.
Yeah.
Or
iBuds, maybe? But yeah, the...
Yeah, iPods.
AirPod, no. Maybe?
AirPods. God, we suck.
Well, we don't have them, those, so...
Yeah, they're way too expensive for me.
But I know you said even though it's not with the option you have, but, you know, if you have the cellular and the GPS, you can basically be running without your cell phone, watch.
You can make calls on that one. Yeah. You can be playing Spotify playlists or Pandora playlists or whatever. All that stuff without your phone nearby. Right.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, that's a next level, you know, but that's a pretty cool option. But this is, you can still use, you know, you get what we just talked about, finding directions, the turn by turn, if you had the, you know, the earphones, the earbuds, the AirPods.
Well, this does play sound. Like, it has sound, too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, like, if you don't feel like walking around, turn left now in the middle of a crowded, you know, crowd. Then,
yeah. And I'm not sure, since I haven't had a whole lot of luck with it. It might just give you, like, a ding every time. I don't know how that works.
Okay, I get you. All right, we're getting into too many.
I apologize that
too many details.
A full review on that particular app.
That's all right. It's related to fitness. You give them a lot of good fitness.
Yeah. So I mean, if you're looking for something from like a health and fitness perspective, and you're curious how you can use the Apple Watch, then that's basically what my review is focusing on. And I'll end with the fact that the charger for this is so much better than the charger for the Fitbit. Yeah. Because that one, and I think we even called it out in our review, you have to like clamp this thing on, and it has to fit just right, or else it won't actually charge. The Apple Watch it's a tiny little magnetic disc that, as soon as you lay your watch on or even near it, it just sucks the back of the watch onto it and holds it there.
Wow, cool.
So that you don't have to stress out. Like, and it immediately shows that it's charging too. And it has the same charging block, the USB block, that all of the other Apple products have. So if you are like us and you have a crap ton of those plugged in all over your house, you could actually just move that little tiny disc charger from plug to plug. So,
and what's a battery life?
So they say it's about 18 hours. It's 18 hours. There are certain things that drain it,
right.
So the GPS, if you're doing turn by turn, that's going to drain it. And if you're doing constant measurement of something like the heart rate monitor. So when I do lots of workouts in a day, or like activities, and I'm tracking my heart rate through those, you can actually turn, like, there's a setting that you can switch on.
Low battery mode, essentially.
That will basically just do periodic heart rate during workouts.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I have the option that I'm continuously monitoring heart rate, so that literally I look at it every time and I see exactly in that time what my heart rate is.
Cool.
That will drain the battery faster.
And
but otherwise it's 18 hours.
Cool.
So,
and pretty quick recharge, or you always charge?
I've had good charging experience. I usually just I have the charger in my bathroom. And every night before I go to bed, as soon as I'm about to go to sleep, I just pop that down on the charger. And I think it charges pretty darn fast.
Right.
I've only had it as low as like 40, 30% and stuff like that. Okay. And it was, you know, fully charged in the morning.
That's awesome. Yeah, so probably if you're doing any like adventure races or any like...
Oh, this is waterproof, by the way.
Oh, waterproof.
That's another big feature, is that it's waterproof up to 50 meters. So the previous watches were not.
Right.
It has a barometric altimeter.
Well, that's good.
Which I don't really even know what it is. It has the accelerometer and gyroscope, which I think help with the motion and step tracking and all that stuff. But yeah, water resistant up to 50 meters. And this has that Ion X strengthened glass.
I was going to ask.
So that you're not bashing stuff and it breaking. I already slammed this against a door frame and it didn't do anything. Well, I think it damaged the door frame.
What I'm curious is, some people, especially when you're holding a kettlebell, Wrestling rest. I mean, if you hold it properly, it could be aligned differently, so it's not resting on it. But a lot of people, especially if they're doing cleans,
they
might come back and swing and hit that. So
you might
have to just turn it towards on the inside of your wrist.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really durable, but I don't know if I would repeatedly smash it against a kettlebell.
If you're doing long adventure races, 300-mile adventure races, it might be hard to hold a tire charge for that. But for your general daily fitness, it's pretty dang good for getting all that the data points you want.
Yeah, I think it's I would definitely give this a very strong rating. They're also like friend. Oh, that was the thing you were asking about earlier I didn't talk about. The integration with specific, like, other apps and programs and devices is still in development.
Okay.
You'll see even on the website that they are working on integration with certain other apps and programs. Not quite there yet, though. So Peloton doesn't have that option. But right. I think this does integrate with programs like, what is it, Strava or something. There could be other apps and things that pull the information and serve as a middleman, if you will. I think there are some ways around it, but there's no easy share to my Fitbit like there is right now with Peloton and things like that. Right. I think you would have to share your Apple Watch. Well, no, there's a share to Fitbit on the Peloton right now.
There's not
that option with the Apple Watch.
Okay, gotcha. Understood. So that was a thorough review of the Apple Watch. Do you like coffee? Of course you do, which is why I'm excited to tell you about our sponsors, the Hemp Coffee Exchange. The Hemp Coffee Exchange produces a super coffee blend that is nutritionally superior and tastes better than anything you'll get in the grocery store. Head to hempcoffeeexchange.com, read up about their products, and use the code ATF at checkout to get 20% off your order. Once again, use ATF at checkout to get 20% off your order at hempcoffeeexchange.com.
So something that's related to fitness tracking that I think a lot of us have in the back of our mind is kind of the latest obesity rates. Right. And I hate to say like they're so connected, but what is the news about obesity rates right now?
And it's funny you mentioned it. We kind of hinted it almost about how a lot of kids are wearing the Apple Watch now.
Yes.
I don't know if they're doing it for fitness tracking, but unfortunately data that just recently come out, maybe they should be, because a scientific journal called The Lancet just published some new research this year that said over the past 40 years, the childhood obesity rate has risen 10 times worldwide.
Yeesh.
So this study includes a compilation of 2,400 studies that use BMI for the calculation to the BMI calculation to determine obesity or overweight. So if you're unfamiliar with BMI, the calculation is 703 times weight divided by height squared. I don't know why it's so complicated. I think the BMI was created in Europe, the measurement, so they used a metric system, so it's a little bit easier there. It's not as complicated of an equation, but so that's how it's kind of a general rule for rating obesity and overweight. So we've talked about BMI before. There are some, shortcomings of BMI, but it's mostly, I think, in adults. Because adults have way their body types are developed more, and there's really a variety of body types that the BMI doesn't really factor in.
Yeah, you've developed into your specific and very different body types, whereas I think there's kind of a average when it comes to kids.
Yes, for childhood, adolescents and children, it's still alarming when BMI is, if you have a BMI that's considered obese. So this study, a compilation of 2,400 studies calculating the BMI of over 130 million children worldwide from 1975 to 2016. And what they found is that overall, the number of children and adolescents with obesity increased from 1975 to 2016 from 5 million to 50 million among girls and from 6 million to 74 million among boys.
Whoa.
So it's essentially, they said that the BMI has increased in nearly every part of the world, including most parts of Africa. And there's still some relatively low prevalence of obesity in Africa, especially like sub-Sahara Africa. Yeah. But southern Africa is, they've seen the highest proportionate increase in obesity among children at 400% per decade in the time the period was studied.
Damn.
And they're also seeing a high prevalence of this obesity, childhood obesity, in Asian countries, which were normally, you know, are thought to be, well, usually, historically, were very fit and skinny individuals, but now they're kind of trending towards the, you know, having childhood obesity. And I've heard other references and other articles, they talk about how, you know, processed foods is getting more and more popular over in Asian countries.
Yep.
So it's interesting. I this is an article from Time magazine, but like I said, the study was from The Lancet. And I was wanting to read something real quick. It was a quote from the essentially the head researcher of this study. And a lot of countries that have high rates of obesity, like the United States, the rates have kind of plateaued, which they say is probably is kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Because in the interesting, he said, the head researcher says, the seemingly good news about the plateau is that it's a surprise, largely because in an active policy sense, we haven't been doing a lot to address childhood obesity. So it's almost by, almost, I don't know, dumb luck or some sort of homeostasis that childhood obesity is plateaued, especially specifically in the United States and some other developed countries.
Or the fact that it's so damn alarmingly high that it would be really tragic if we went higher.
Well, yeah, but like he said he doesn't see any real active policy. Yes, they're starting to be a little bit more kind of conscious in schools about diet and exercise, but they really haven't, it's not, there's, people aren't adhering to strict, you know, changing of the diet. You know, I think the food pyramid is still out there to a certain extent. We've talked about it before. It's called My Plate now, where they still recommend a tremendous amount of grains and whole food.
It's a
you know,
load of bull honky.
Whole foods, sorry, not whole foods, whole grains. I thought that was an interesting that they're just surprised that it's plateau, mainly because we haven't really been doing anything for it to kind of reverse itself. Hopefully, maybe, you know, the numbers will come back, you know, when we do this study later down the road, that we're actually doing some, you know, taking some active steps to change childhood obesity rates. And something related to that I saw on Twitter that I wanted to share, is that apparently, fatty liver disease is the fastest growing reason for transplants in young U.S. adults. So fatty liver disease, which is essentially cirrhosis, non-alcohol related cirrhosis of the liver, is becoming prevalent in adolescents.
Oh my gosh.
So I saw this by Dr. Jason Fung. I referenced this a couple times on this podcast about, you know, he's somebody who's actually a really great source for intermittent fasting information. They quoted a doctor or research in this saying that I see kids at ages 7 and 8 with this problem. The one of my youngest patients developed cirrhosis at 13. So this is,
damn.
I mean, this is, like I said, this is non-alcohol related cirrhosis. You guys heard cirrhosis through basically just alcohol poison, just constant, you know, alcoholics get cirrhosis a lot and have to have liver transplants. But now the majority, they say,
because a reminder, your liver is basically your body's, like, filter.
Right. And now
purifier.
One of the main reasons for liver transplant in the United States is because of this fatty liver disease, not alcohol-related.
That's scary.
So, I mean, and one of the main culprits of that is obviously an excess intake of sugar.
Okay.
And a lot of people, there's a study, I think it's called Sugar Coated, or a documentary, where they talk about, you know, how fruit juice... You know, fruit juice, like, you know, obviously...
Beverages.
Yeah, people, I mean, parents, they were told that, you know, get fruit juice has vitamins and minerals and all that stuff.
It's a serving of fruit.
And, I mean, sure, it does have some nutrients in it, but it's also just pure sugar with no fiber. So it's just essentially, once you drink that, you hit a huge blood sugar spike and insulin release it, an insulin release, and that's really what starts really kind of, you know, killing your liver. You know, that insulin resistance, that insulin pumping cycle can really cause things like fatty liver disease.
That's crazy. So I would be interested to know, like, also, because I've also heard reference that eating disorders and things like that, especially in young adults, have increased over the years as well. I wonder if, you know, there's so much, especially in U.S. culture, that's focused on body image.
Right.
If those kind of statistics are what's keeping the obesity rate lower, because you also have these dramatic pushes where some people are using very unhealthy methods to control their weight.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's very, and yeah, and it's most, a lot of, it's, I think it's all, both of it, in both sides of it, obesity and basically kind of like anorexia, like you're referencing, some on the other end of the spectrum are kind of related to psychological issues too. So, because I mean, I was, you know, a fat kid growing up to a certain extent. So
I was classified as not like horribly overweight, but I was, you know, heavy, like whatever that.
Husky? Is that the...
No, there's like a BMI category that's like just below flat out overweight, because I'm like so dense that even as like an adolescent, I did not have a ton of fat.
Right.
But I fell into that, whatever that category was for BMI because of that. And that screwed with my mind a little bit. It took me years to wrap my head around.
Yeah. So that's it. I think a lot of it has to do with psychological too. But I think not it being, especially parents not being educated about proper nutrition, is a huge issue for these, you know, astounding kind of obesity rates that we're seeing worldwide now.
Yep.
So those are the topics we wanted to talk about on this week's episode. I know it's kind of a wide-ranging, and we got to throw a lot of info out to you guys, but we appreciate you sticking with us and listening, and we also appreciate you guys supporting our sponsors.
Yes, and definitely check out our wonderful sponsors and their delicious coffee.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not yet, head over to their website and take advantage of that promo code. I feel like we have already run through our stash because it's so tasty.
Exactly. Yeah, we need to re-up real quick. Yeah. So hempcoffeeexchange.com. Check it out and use that promo code. You got anything else for them this week?
Just to head over to our Facebook page, because we still definitely want some feedback over there, and we'll be posting kind of bits and bobs, if you will,
from
links that we mentioned today. We'll put in on the Facebook over the next week.
All right, cool. I think we got another one in the books.
Alrighty.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
See ya.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ET Tampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks. Thanks for stopping by and checking another
One more time.
Thanks for stopping by. Oh my goodness.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.